There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit is life, and Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Good morning. It certainly is a beautiful morning. It's wonderful to be with you all again and to be able to participate in the worship this morning. It's just already been such a great day, and it's so lovely outside, and we have a wonderful topic that we will be studying this morning, and that is the freedom that we have in Christ and through Christ. And I mean, honestly, as I was thinking about ways to kind of open the lesson, I was a little overwhelmed almost. Freedom is just such a broad and powerful topic. I know it's something that I take for granted. Growing up, when I have, and in the country that I have, I don't appreciate what it is to be free. And I know that it's not always been like that, and in other places in the world right now, it's not like that. But it's just hard for me to process. It's hard for me to imagine an existence where that wouldn't be true, because it's just so natural for me. It's just all I've known. It'd be like trying to imagine a world without gravity or something like that. It's just such a foreign idea, to not have the freedom and the liberty to direct my own life and to come and worship the way that I want, to be able to live my life the way that I want. It's really just such an incredible idea. That it's hard to imagine life without it. And really, it's just such a prominent theme when you look not only at our country's history, but just world history. How important it is, how often we see people striving for freedom. People who want the liberty to direct their own paths. And how much sacrifice has been given throughout history for that very thing, the thing that we enjoy. Our nation values freedom so much, and it's such a part of our society. It's such an ever-present focus. Our nation is nearing 250 years, and it's hard to imagine, a more important theme than our freedom. And so this morning I wanted to think about freedom maybe a little bit in general terms, but far more importantly, how our freedom in Christ is important and what it is. And again, I've grown up in the church, and I've always, as long as I can remember, known about Jesus and the freedom that we have in Him. And it's equally difficult for me to imagine an existence without that, without freedom through Christ, without knowing that my sins could be washed clean by Christ's blood. So we'll think about those thoughts some this morning. But I wanted to begin by thinking about what freedom is not. And it's not just a license to do whatever you want, although that may be the way some people interpret it, but it's really sad, I think, that something so precious and so meaningful, such as freedom, has been kind of twisted and wrought in the way that it has. I wanted to begin in John chapter 8, verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, "If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered Him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, Everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. And this is one of those instances where maybe when we look back from a 21st century perspective and we see this question where he says, you know, you will be free. And they say, well, we've never been enslaved to anyone. And we may look at that and kind of think, well, that's not what he's getting at. It reminds me of other example, like when Nicodemus, you know, said when Christ taught he needed to be born again, he goes, can I enter a second time into my mother's womb? And maybe from our perspective, we look at that and kind of think like, well, obviously there's a deeper meaning here. There's something symbolic about what he's saying. He wasn't saying that, you know, you've literally been shackled. That's not the freedom that Christ is talking about. But I also recognize it was a different time, and sometimes I feel like we're just as naive today with the way we look at freedom. We may not envision shackles the way that the people asking him at that time might have. They misunderstood the freedom he was talking about. But I think a lot of people today, even those who profess Christianity, have a very naive view of what freedom is also. How many people are slaves to entertainment, to money, to their jobs, to the way they look, to a lifestyle, to alcohol, to any number of things. And living and thinking that you're free when you are in shackles. Again, not literal, but slaves, as Christ said, slaves to sin. Some of the heaviest shackles that can be worn are the slaves of, or the is in the slavery that comes from sin. In Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And a lot of times people take what they perceive of as freedom as, you know, an opportunity to live the way that they want to live, the way that they think seems right, that gives them the most enjoyment. And of course we know that sin is always destructive. These things that people count as freedom, the consequences compound, they get worse and worse, they become addictive, and ultimately very destructive. And there is nothing freeing, there's nothing beautiful about sin. One of the real damaging principles that has arisen that I see in society is the idea that God just wants us to be ourselves. He wants us to be who we are and the way we feel, and that's the way that God wants us to live. But I would argue that that's not found in Scripture. As a matter of fact, I'd say the opposite is found in Scripture. We're not told that our desires make us who we are, that our lives are our own. In Romans 12:1, Paul writes, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm not who I should be. And when I became a Christian, I needed to be transformed. That old me is gone. My desires are to be rejected and to put behind for what is my service, which is to be a living sacrifice. That's our spiritual worship. The idea that we are to be who we want to be or choose to be or desire to be is not found in Scripture. We are to kind of actively pursue a transforming of the mind, to abandon our will and to accept the will of God in obedience. Galatians 2:20. And it's hard for me to read this passage without singing it, but I'm going to try. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. God wants us to live like Christ and for Christ and not the way that we desire, not the way that we choose. The worst kind of slavery is the slavery that you're in that you don't even realize you're shackled. And so many people are bound in sin and don't even realize it. But thankfully, through Christ, we have the remedy for that. We have freedom through Christ and only through Christ. And one of the recurring principles in the New Testament is the exhortations that the early Jewish Christians had about turning from the old law and turning to Christ fully. And I can understand why that was probably a difficult transition. You know, you live your whole life under this law and this obedience, and it's a very kind of tangible thing, and you could wrap your head around it, and then you know you have to change and follow the law of Christ. And there was some difficulty in that. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, I'm going to read a few verses here, talking about the differences between the old law and the freedom that is in Christ, under Christ's law. Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise." Chapter 4, verse 1. "I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." And I thought that was interesting, that the first part of this passage, if I'm understanding it, is that, in chapter 4, verse 1, the heir, the child, as long as he is a child, is no different than a slave. Like, they're both, you know, under the command of the master. But there's a difference between those who are enslaved by something and those who are sons. And that is, you know, being the heir to something beautiful. You know, the benefit of being a child and leaving that old law behind and going to being a child of God and heirs according to that. And then a little further on in chapter 4, Galatians 4 to verse 28. "Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at the same time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? 'Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman.' So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman." Chapter 5, verse 1. "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Paul here is telling these early Jewish Christians, why do you want to go back to a yoke of slavery, to the burden of the old law, which could point out your sins, but could not cleanse you of them? There was no freedom to be had under that old law. There was no adoption as sons. That is only found. We can only be the adopted heirs of God through His Son, through the law of Christ. And He wants them to be free of the bondage of the old law, to be free of the bondage of sin, and to be free in Christ. And as I was thinking about this, there was a passage in the Gospel Advocate commentaries, which I thought was, it just really pushed through and became such like an impactful thing as I was thinking about it. And that is that the law of Christ is a law of love. And it's like, and again, getting back to what Paul wrote about the differences between, you know, the obedience of slaves and the obedience of children. And it's love. And that is just such a powerful thought, that we can be children of a loving Father. And that's where our obedience comes from. Not the way that a slave obeys a cruel master, but the way a loving child obeys a gracious, loving, merciful Father. And that's what we can have in Christ, and only in Christ. And I wonder if sometimes we, because we're going to get to passages that talk about, our obedience to God. And I the way that we are to serve God. And I wonder if we don't maybe have a tough time sometimes hearing that, because our society has this kind of impression of being a servant and being obedient. And we kind of have a natural just, again, we're a country that loves freedom. And the idea of being a servant, of having to be obedient, sometimes we just kind of have a reaction to that. Like, our impulse is to say, you know, I'm not going to be a servant. I'm not going to be, you know, under someone else. And unfortunately, that instinct that we have to bristle can be a problem, maybe in some people's hearts, because a servant is exactly what we are called to be. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, as was read earlier, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. We have no condemnation in Christ. Not because I deserve it, but because that's what Christ gives to us. He suffered on the cross so that we have an opportunity to not be condemned for anything. If there was ever, you know, there's this thing. It's happened a couple times I've seen in movies where there's this idea of like a life debt, where when one character saves the life of another character, that they kind of make this pledge, like, I will follow you around and I will protect you. You saved my life. I owe you my life. I am yours. And if ever there was a time, a place where there would be a life debt that is owed, it is ours to Christ. He did everything for us. He gave His life so that we could live. And we need to be willing, loving servants of Christ. It is a grateful service that we should have. John chapter 8 and verse 35. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That's just such a beautiful thought, that with Christ, we are not distant servants, but we are loving sons obeying a loving Father. And then I want to get to Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Again, this is one of those thoughts where maybe some people would bristle at a little bit, but I think it's so beautiful and definitely true. Romans 6, beginning of verse 16. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, You are slaves to one, the one you whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. Now, I think this is very clear that every person is going to be a slave in one way or the other. We may not like that idea. You may, complain about it, but all of us have that choice to make. We are either going to be slaves to our own sin and our own desires, or we are going to commit ourselves to be servants of Christ. And those are the only two choices we're provided. That is the reality of our existence. In verse 17, "But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." I hope that all of us can be slaves to righteousness and obedient to Christ. And I want to close this morning by noting that our freedom, that choice that we have to be enslaved to righteousness, to follow Christ and to be sons of adoption through Him, it came at a price. If left to our own devices, we would have no choice. We would all be slaves to our own sin. And I can only, again, this is like I said at the beginning, I can't wrap my mind around an existence where there was no choice. It's just hard for me to imagine. And you know, thinking about my children and to even try to imagine them, you know, being taken into slavery, it's just such a crushing thought. You know, I would do anything, you know, to prevent that. And yet, in a very real way, slavery is out there. The slavery that comes from sin. And Lord willing, if they live to be old enough, they're going to face it. They're going to face temptations that will enslave them. I can't imagine them being trapped in anything, really. It's hard when they're young, but to know that they don't have to stay in that situation, that Christ has redeemed them if they're faithful, is just such a wonderful thought. And it was so costly what had to happen for me and for you and for my children and your children and our children's children, Lord willing, to be set free from that slavery. I want to read a passage, one that I'm guessing most are familiar with, Isaiah chapter 53. And I won't read as much as is here, but just to kind of center our minds again on the sacrifice that was made for us in this prophecy. Isaiah 53, I'm going to begin in verse 4. "Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all." There's a reason this passage is so well known. It's just so, how do we hear that? And to think about the joy and the freedom and the release from sin that we have and what it cost our Savior. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the peace that I have, the peace of mind that I have, the hope that I have, the burden of that was put on Christ. All we, like sheep, have gone astray and chased our own desires and wanted our own freedom and to live life the way we wanted in rebellion against God. And He was willing to take that penalty from us. I never served in the military. I never fought for our country's freedom or anything like that. My grandfather did. This was a long time ago. He has since passed away. He was in the military, and we lived in a small town in West Virginia, a very small town. And like we lived on the same street as my grandfather. My dad lived on that street from when he was, you know, a child until, you know, a few years ago when he moved closer to us, to my brother and I and our families. And I remember my grandfather saying something. And he lived in that small town, and there were times where maybe we wanted him to move somewhere else, maybe closer to hospitals and more things and people, but he never would. He never left that street. And he said something one time, and it stuck with me. When he went to the military and into service, he said he was never going to be homesick again. Once he got back, like he said, I it was like he just told himself, like it was difficult, and I can only, he didn't talk about it much, but I can only imagine how homesick he was, because he said, like, I'm never going to be homesick again. And he stayed right there in that small town on that same street the rest of his life. And that really, not only does it make me appreciate the sacrifices that so many people have made for our freedom in a worldly sense, in a physical sense, but it also makes me think about being homesick and thinking about how much was given for us so that we, what Christ gave for us, so that we can never feel homesick again. That one day we can be with God, that we can be together as a family, and that we can all be with Him for eternity and to never feel homesick again. What a blessing that is. And what better way to end than to think about that home that we are waiting for. I want to read a passage from Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither that shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." I want to skip ahead to verse 22. "And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there." That is a glorious picture of freedom, of being home, of being together as a family. And it's all through Christ. And if anyone this morning has a need to put on Christ in baptism, to break the enslavement of sin that we find ourselves in, you have that opportunity. You do not need to wait another moment. If you've done that and you need the prayers of the church for any reason, we will help you as we can. If you'll come forward as we stand and sing.